I often say that addiction is the result of not knowing how to find safety inside of yourself. So you find it in something else, and understandably, you get hooked on it because you're desperate for safety. That's all you're guilty of. Any of you looking to learn more about supporting addiction recovery through a trauma-informed and somatic lens and a nutritional lens, please join me for my addiction circle. This is a bi-monthly, entirely free virtual circle that I invite anyone here to come and join if they want more information. Addiction tends to be so steeped in shame, and I find that doing this work in a community of people helps to destigmatize that shame so you can see how not alone you are in the experience. So whether you are personally withdrawing, preventing, experiencing relapse, or you work with people who are actively addicted or in recovery, all are welcome.
The next Addiction Circle will be held on Tuesday, May 7th at 5 p.m. EDT. This meeting is not recorded for the sake of anonymity. No registration is necessary. Just join through the link below.
Hey, my friends, my last six-week course of the year is approaching. It begins on Monday, October 30th. This six-week course is beyond anything you've experienced. We meet 4 days a week. I will teach you the ins and outs of healing trauma and stress through somatic inquiry, somatic experiencing, and whole food nutrition. You also will have a weekly sound healing, which will help you access your body and get the work to digest on a physical level instead of just a mental one. We have Q&As, we have practice sessions, and we have full-time six-week support via our circle space. If you want to join this next six-week course, go to holisticlifenavigation.com and click on the course. You can join the waitlist, and on September 28th, you'll be invited to register before the public. For more information, visit holisticlifenavigation.com. The quality, the somatic quality, the emotion, the state we're in when we're going into puberty, when we're exploring our sexuality with ourselves and with others, it becomes this baseline emotional, physiological state when we're adults and using our fetishes or kinks for getting turned on. And this was profound to me. And as I started working with sex workers and people in the kink community and BDSM and such, I was learning that a lot of these bodies were reenacting a trauma that they had experienced as children.
Welcome to the Holistic Life Navigation Podcast, where we discuss every aspect of life through the lens of somatic psychology, nutrition, and self-inquiry. My name's Luis Mojica, and I'm a somatic educator who teaches people how to find safety inside themselves so they can better navigate this strange and sensational human experience. Your time to learn begins now.
The relationship between thrill and overwhelm and turn on and fear is a really interesting one that I haven't heard a lot about, haven't seen it being spoken about often. I discovered this by accident. It would have been maybe 8 years ago. I was in private practice, and this thing would happen in private practice where kind of like this over spirit of a condition or expression would enter the room. And what I mean by that is 6 clients at once would reach out to work with me, none of them knowing each other. And they all had a very similar expression or behavior that they wanted to work with. At this point in my private practice, I was getting a lot of men who had sexual addiction and sexual compulsions. So I was working with one of these men, and we worked for a good year or two. And I'll never forget the session where he's telling me that he's driving, not during the session, but he's recounting a period where he's driving in his car and he sees a woman walking down the street, and she's wearing what he called very sexy clothing. And he's seeing her breasts, and he's seeing her hips, and he's seeing her long hair. And this is all turning on his addiction, as he would call it. He could feel it, this place in him getting revved up, of going into the state of fixation and obsession and compulsion around sex, and specifically sex with women. So I paused him and I said, let's sit with that. Let's feel that. And to both of our surprise, what he was feeling was a huge amount of fear and overwhelm. He wasn't actually feeling turned on. He had a hard-on. He had an erection. And when we followed the charge that created the erection, we found all this tension in his chest, all this tension in his stomach, shallow breathing, and huge, overwhelming waves of fear. This interested me, and I would learn from him that in his childhood, sexual development was overcoupled with fear for many, many, many different reasons. And this gave me insight about my own sexual development and how my turn on was developed around secrecy and around shame and around things being taboo. So I was discovering through this client, many others, and then my own personal history, that the quality, the somatic quality, the emotion, the state we're in when we're going into puberty, when we're exploring our sexuality with ourselves and with others, it becomes this baseline emotional, physiological state when we're adults and using our fetishes or kinks or getting turned on. And this was profound to me. And as I started working with sex workers and people in the kink community and BDSM and such, I was learning that a lot of these bodies were reenacting a trauma that they had experienced as children, bodies that were violated, and now as adults found a way to reenact the violation to liberate themselves of this stored energy. It's not these bodies' faults or my body's fault or anybody's fault what turns us on. We can't help what turns us on. What we can help is, do we have a conscious relationship to the roots of the turn on? And by doing so, we get to learn where it comes from. And in the moment now, if it's harming us in terms of not letting us expand into our safety and our openness around turn on, or if it's helping us, is it helping us access turn on? Is it helping us liberate parts of ourselves that are stored and kind of packaged up, right? I'm trying to think of a better way to say that, because it's not coming out as clear as I would want it to. I'm going to say very directly, the kinks, the fetishes, the things that really turn you on, do they create a stress response in your body, or do they create an openness and a sense of ease? That's what really matters to me. All the other wording, everything else I'm going to say is too complex. It's just that simple. Do I get relief and release and openness and tenderness and a deeper connection to myself and the other from sexual experiences? Or does the thrill, does the fear response, does the stress and trauma response that these sexual liberated fetishes rather and kinks that they bring up, does that trauma response annihilate me? Does it exhaust me? Does it disconnect me? Does it create a shame spiral? Do I have to cope with eating food afterwards? Or do I get dissociated for days? Do I have to watch TV for hours? Really noticing, do my kinks and fetishes connect me more deeply and relieve my body, soften my body, or do they disconnect me? Do they stress out my body? I'm going to read something that I wrote on Instagram. There's a complex relationship between disgust and turn on that most people who were sexually violated experience. Boundary violations often release a fight response. It's how our bodies are able to negotiate the space between them and a predator. Screaming, yelling, kicking, hitting, spitting, throwing, you name it. Any expression from your body onto the other body in hopes to get them away from you is a fight response. But what happens when you're unable to fight? The body might freeze, go numb, and even fawn to survive a sexual trauma with another body. Where does the fight go? Into the belly. The nausea, dizziness, and overall disgust that you feel in connection to sex and intimacy is often a repressed fight response that gets overcoupled with sexual connection. You might be in a safe relationship with someone who really listens to your body and even turns you on. Yet, you cannot help but feel overwhelming feelings of disgust and even rage before, during, or after the sexual connection. This is because the feeling of turn on with another body is reminding your bones and sexual organs of a past experience of violation. The body reflexively begins protecting itself. Learning how to uncouple disgust from turn on is so liberating. It allows the disgust to point toward past violations instead of current, safe, and consensual relationships. So that piece right there, uncoupling disgust from turn on, you can fill in the blank if disgust is not your physiology around sex. It could be overwhelming amounts of fear. It could be thrill. It could be shame. It could be violence. It could be pain, whatever it is that's overcoupled with turn on, the trauma response that gets overcoupled with your turn on. Uncoupling those gives you a chance at any age to start redeveloping your sexual expression. This is not in any way to suggest that kink and fetish is bad. It's to suggest that kink and fetish can be unconscious. We can be disembodied, really, because it's very conscious, isn't it? It's very cognitive, right? But is it embodied? I can know that being talked to a certain way turns me on. Do I know the origins of why? I've had so many people in my private practice who would love being humiliated. I'm not going to say the ways, but many different ways. Their body loved humiliation, so they thought. Their body loved being humiliated. And when we went into it somatically, we learned that the acts of humiliation that they were asking for with partners, they were consenting to, they were requesting in their relationships so they could reach climax. They were learning that the humiliation created such overwhelming amounts of disgust and pain and fear that the activation from the nervous system, the arousal of the nervous system from those states of stress and trauma actually created a genital arousal. So my genitals I can get hard. I can have an erection. I can come. I can have this whole amazing, huge orgasmic experience. And everything around my penis, every other part of my body can be constricting, can be in shame, can be in pain, can be in fear. So it's a disembodied experience. Even the parts are disembodied. One part is seemingly experiencing pleasure when really these pleasure points, especially our genitals, they're designed to experience pleasure due to blood flow and nervous system arousal. So if your body is activated, adrenalized, when you go into a trauma or stress response, you naturally go into a place of higher blood pressure. That's what adrenaline does. It raises your blood pressure because it constricts your vessels, right? And nervous system arousal. So a trauma and a stress response biologically can actually result in genital turn on for certain bodies. This is especially true for males. I found the same for females as well, but people with penises, people with vaginas, it can be very different. If you have a penis, I have seen in myself and many other men I've worked with that body part is so designed to hold blood flow, right? More than anything. Not saying that the clitoris or the vagina is not, or the vulva is not, but the actual penis can create an erection just from fear, just from excitement, not even sexual excitement, but just excitement. So it's important to get curious, is the mechanism behind my genital arousal and pleasure one of a trauma response and stress response, or is the genital pleasure a result of my body slowly unfolding, my heart opening, and in the unfolding like a flower, my genitals also bloom, which is a gorgeous experience. So it takes time to learn the difference. What I want to share with you is an example of the beginning of an uncoupling. I was invited to go to a weekend immersion with Carolyn Elliott's team. And what she and I did was we were sitting on the porch having a great conversation, her and Layla and I, and the conversation turned into a podcast on their platform, which you can see in these episode details. It's an amazing conversation. But what happened at the end, I wasn't expecting. She asked a question about the overcoupling with sex and thrill and thrill and trauma response. So you're about to listen to a real-time, nearly candid experience of her navigating the difference somatically of her kink and her safe pleasure and safe turn on. And have a listen. And it gives you an idea. It gives you a really firm example of what it is I'm talking about here. That kink and fetish, there's nothing wrong with it. We just want to learn the mechanism behind it. Is it serving to scare my body into being turned on? Or is it serving to unfold my body into a safe arousal and unfolding a deep connection to myself and a softening into me and the person that I'm with sexually?
Yes. Well, this is making me want to sort of somewhat selfishly inquire about something that I saw you post on Instagram, which is you were talking about when a person has overcoupled their sexuality with like shame and secrecy or humiliation or abusiveness. And I guess that would be because I feel like I definitely have that, and I've been like coming up against the edges of like, how do I work with this? Like, I'm sort of over this now. Like, this isn't fun anymore. Totally. Like, I would like to have like a very direct, more somewhat wholesome access to my sexuality without the childhood overlay on it. And so I'm curious to hear you speak about like, how does one disentangle that overcoupling?
I mean, I first of all relate so much with that. You know, that's why I posted that too. Because when people, those of you listening, the people who, when your body's developing what turns you on, even what doesn't turn you on, like for me, I was raped a few times, right? There was turn on in that. There was like, in addition to the violation and the fear and the shame, was also, I belong. Like, someone's touching me, or like, do they like me? You know, there's also that we tend to lose in our, again, the binary. And so as we're developing, these overcouplings develop. So my sexuality as well was like, oh, being violated feels good. My sexuality was also like, oh, being secretive, like giving like a wink to someone across the room, and like go fucking in an alley. You know, like all these things became the way the medium that my turn on was allowed to come through. What's interesting is if we're not aware of that, if we're not like co-creating with that, it becomes possession, right? It's like this wound actually possesses you, and it's the only way you can be turned on.
It's like compulsive.
It's compulsive. It's like when we think of even addiction, it's like you're now possessed by this energy that's actually super limited. It's not a liberation, mm-hmm. even though in a lot of like kink circles we call it liberation. Mm-hmm. It's not liberation. Mm-hmm. It's liberation when I'm co-creating with mm-hmm. it, when I can also go another direction.
Yeah, when there's flexibility.
Yeah. And for me, there wasn't for so long. Mm-hmm. And I had that same feeling of like, I'm over this. This is like getting kind of stale. And mm-hmm. I feel like it's encapsulating me instead of expanding me. So the practice of uncoupling something like that is my favorite somatic practice, which is pendulation. And it's a practice where, like, I'll give everyone a really simple visual. Okay, think of something that really annoyed you. Mm-hmm. Tell me what it is. Mm-hmm. If you want to.
Let's see, that really annoyed me. Hold on. I do have to reach a little bit farther.
Go ahead.
I am sort of you like, too. Okay. Just this morning, David and I had went to bed kind of late, and Lulu had been with babysitters, and so she woke up pretty early, and I was still tired, and she was like pouting that she wanted to get out of bed and like kicking me, and I was annoyed.
So. Okay, where do you feel the annoyance when you think of her kicking you?
It was kind of like a heaviness in my chest mm-hmm. and maybe like a tension in my head.
Okay, so just staying with that, one way overcouplings show themselves to us is always through constriction, mm-hmm. like a traumatic or negative one, let's say. So you feel that in your head and your chest. Now, when you also think of her kicking you right now, where don't you feel that? What part of you feel something totally different?
Yeah, I don't feel it in my butt or my feet or my thighs or my lower back.
So let's do the butt, feet, thighs, just like okay. lower body.
Yeah.
And literally like a pendulum, like feel, like breathe up into the part that's annoyed when you think of her and just sit with that for a couple seconds. Yeah. And then go down to the parts that weren't and sit with those for a couple seconds. Go back up to the parts that were. Again, sit with those for a few seconds. Yeah, good. Any movement that emerges. Then go down to the parts that weren't and sit with those again.
And after a few seconds, just kind of pull yourself out from your body and just look at your body as a whole and see what is it doing with this information? What's happening?
Yeah, there's definitely a relaxation when I focus on the part that was not annoyed. And there's like, I can feel how the relaxation starts to merge with the annoyed tensor.
That's the key right there, the word merge.
Louise would like to thank Carolyn for her vulnerability in sharing this and her permission to use it on this episode so that it can help to serve others who experience something similar. If you would like to hear Louise speak more to this topic, you can purchase the recent webinar, Sexual Fetish, Fawning, and Trauma, using the link in the podcast description.
So that's the end of today's episode. Notice where you feel the episode inside of your body. Those sensations, those expressions, that's how your body speaks to you. Sit with it, be with it, and let whatever wants to come up, come up. Because all the wisdom you're looking for is right there in those sensations. If you want to go deeper into these practices or find more information about my work, please visit holisticlifenavigation.com. I'll see you next time.
Hey everybody, it is time. It is time to hop on a plane, a train, a boat, a goat, a bike, a car, and find your way upstate New York to a little town outside of Phoenicia. I don't know what the town's called actually, but the place that we're going to be in is called Menla. And it is a gorgeous, epic retreat center in the middle of the forest in the Catskill Mountains with a spa and organic vegetarian food with lots of beans and yoga in the morning and a swimming pool and a swimming hole and trails. And yes, it is an HLN retreat. It is a 5-day retreat from Wednesday, June 12th to Sunday, June 16th. It is the biggest retreat we've ever put on, and the entire team is going to be there. They are all flying from different corners of the country to come together to hold you in the healing magic that is somatics. We will be teaching you how to belong without having to fit in, how to find safety inside of yourself and share that with others, how to receive witnessing, how to feel for your boundaries instead of fawning. We are going to cover so much, and you're going to be doing it in the most ideal setting of being fed, of being loved, of resting, of enjoying the forest and nature, and being with us and 60 other bodies. So please go to the website, holisticlifenavigation.com, and click on events, and you'll find it there. Wednesday, June 12th to Sunday, June 16th. All the info as well can be found directly through the link in this episode details. I am just so thrilled for this, and I can't wait to see some of you in person.